fast, it was probably the king. He lived in Udine and came out in this way nearly every day to see how things were going, and things went very badly. At the start of the winter came the permanent rain, and with the rain came the cholera. But it was checked, and in the end, only 7,000 died of it in the army. Chapter 2. The next year there were many victories. The mountain that was beyond the valley and the hillside where the chestnut forest grew was captured, and there were victories beyond the plain on the plateau to the south, and we crossed the river in August and lived in a house in Gorizia that had a fountain and many thick shady trees in a walled garden, and a wisteria vine purple on the side of the house. Now the fighting was in the next mountains beyond and was not a mile away. The town was very nice, and our house was very fine. The river ran behind us, and the town had been captured very handsomely, but the mountains beyond it could not be taken, and I was very glad the Austrians seemed to want to come back to the town sometime, if the war should end, because they did not bombard it to destroy it, but only a little in a military way. People lived on in it, and there were hospitals and cafes and artillery up side streets, and two bawdy houses, one for troops and one for officers. And with the end of the summer, the cool nights, the fighting in the mountains beyond the town, the shell-marked iron of the railway bridge, the smashed tunnel by the river where the fighting had been, the trees around the square and the long avenue of trees that led to the square. These with there being girls in the town, the king passing in his motor car, sometimes now seeing his face and little long-necked body and gray beard, like a goat's chin tuft. All these with the sudden interiors of houses that had lost a wall through shelling, with plaster and rubble in their gardens, and sometimes in the street. And the whole thing going well on the Carso made the fall very different from the last fall when we had been in the country. The war was changed, too. The forest of oak trees on the mountain beyond the town was gone. The forests had been green in the summer when we had come into the town, but now there were the stumps and the broken trunks and the ground torn up. And one day, at the end of the fall, when I was out where the oak forest had been, I saw a cloud coming over the mountain. It came very fast, and the sun went a dull yellow, and then everything was gray, and the sky was covered, and the cloud came on down the mountain, and suddenly we were in it, and it was snow. The snow slanted across the wind, the bare ground was covered, the stumps of trees projected. There was snow on the guns, and there were paths in the snow going back to the latrines behind trenches. Later, below in the town, I watched the snow falling, looking out of the window of the bawdy house, the house for officers, where I sat with a friend in two glasses drinking a bottle of Asti, and, looking out at the snow falling slowly and heavily, we knew it was all over for that year. Up the river the mountains had not been taken. None of the mountains beyond the river had been taken. That was all left for next year. My friend saw the priest from our mess going by in the street, walking carefully in the slush, and pounded on the window to attract his attention. The priest looked up. He saw us and smiled. My friend motioned for him to come in. The priest shook his head and went on. That night, in the mess, after the spaghetti course, which everyone ate very quickly and seriously, lifting the spaghetti on the fork until the loose strands hung clear, then lowering it into the mouth, or else using a continuous lift and sucking into the mouth, helping ourselves to wine from the grass-covered gallon flask. It swung in a metal cradle, and you pulled the neck of the flask down with the forefinger, and the wine, clear, red, tannic, and lovely, poured out into the glass held with the same hand. After this course, the captain commenced picking on the priest. The priest was young and blushed easily, and wore a uniform like the rest of us, but with a cross in dark red velvet above the left breast pocket of his gray tunic. The captain spoke pidgin Italian for my doubtful benefit, in order that I might understand perfectly that nothing should be lost. "Priest today with girls," the captain said, looking at the priest and at me. The priest smiled and blushed and shook his head. This captain baited him often. "Not true?" asked the captain. "Today I see priest with girls." "No,"